Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I have effectively found a very good excuse for wearing tennis shoes two messages in a row. Because, you know, David and I, we try and be healthy people, so we try and walk. Let's see if I can make this thing actually work since it came from my house. It doesn't like me. Oh, there we go. We walk for exercise. Who in here exercises some? Okay, how about online? I want to hear from you too. Who does walking for exercise? I do walking for exercise. Now, do any of you guys watch Friends? You guys ever watch Phoebe Buffay run? She does this interesting thing where she's like, because she says it's fun. I have my own little interesting walk and I do this. My husband makes immense fun of me. He's like, what's with the arms? I'm like, they are cardio, and this is my version of sit-ups, because when you cross this way, it works your oblique, and I don't want to do this, so just leave me alone, okay? And then I get all mad, and then my pace picks up, and then he just wonders what's wrong with me, and you know, really, I try to walk in the morning before my brain figures out what I'm doing. You know, but I guess the advantage of walking every day could be this, you know, when I'm in my casket and I'm 102, they'll be looking down at me and go, oh, well, doesn't she look good? You know, but walking, there are so many benefits from walking in life. And our Christian walk, our walk following God, is really interesting and really important and really a keystone. Everybody say a keystone. A keystone to what we're doing, because how many of you do not want to sit still in life? Say me.
Me.
You want to go further than this?
Yes.
Like there's more for you in life?
Yes.
Yes. You know, God doesn't want you staying where you are. God wants you going somewhere. He wants you to go to the next level. He wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to walk by faith into that area that He has for you. And you might not think your part in the world is significant. You might cut yourself down online. You might just say, oh, well, I'm just a, whatever you say, I'm just a mom. I'm just a stay-at-home dad. I'm just retired. I'm just a kid. I'm just a beginner. I'm just a, whatever that justa is, get rid of your justa, because you might not think you're significant, but God knows. God knows what He has called you to do. And He's wanting to know if you will get up and you will walk it out. So right now, if you're in the auditorium, actually, if you're online too, I want you to actually get up. I want you to walk to somebody who's not directly next to you. You're going to have to walk. You're going to have to take at least one step. I want you to touch somebody. And I want you to tell them you're going to walk it out. You're going to walk it out. And then go back to your seat, because it's not as connection time. We're not figuring out where we're eating lunch. Now, how many people are actually a little bit invigorated just from that little bit of movement? See, it does something, doesn't it? See, we get stuck where we are in our well-worn little trail and in our well-worn little track, and we don't want to move. We think, oh, you know, life is hard. Life is hard. Even the Bible says life is hard. Well, yeah, you're right. Let's put up Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, some of you only know that if I do it in my Snoop voice. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at myself and realize there's nothing left. That sounds nothing like Snoop. Wow. Gonna have to work on that before tomorrow. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's where we meditate. That's where we get stuck. Oh, good Lord, what do we do with the valley of the shadow of death? I knew I couldn't do it. I knew it. No. You missed the two most important words that come before the valley of the shadow of death, and that's walk, and that's through. I want you to look at the person on your left and say, you got to walk. And look at the person on your right and say, you got to walk through. It says, I will fear no evil, For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So you're walking, but you're walking through. The problem is, a lot of us hit that stop button. We get into the valley of the shadow of death, and then we're just stuck right here. And then we're living in the valley of the shadow of death. And then we're making plans to stay in the valley of the shadow of death because that's where we are. And so we just set up a house right here in the valley of the shadow of death. Is that what God told us to do, friends? No. He told us you need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 43, verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, that means there's going to be waters that come throwing at us. It says, I'll be with you. Oh, and through the rivers? Oh, they're not going to overwhelm you. Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying I walk through the waters, and now I got to walk through the rivers? Oh, yeah. They're not going to overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, there's waters, there's rivers, and there's fire. Yeah. But when you walk through, everybody say walk through. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. The problem is, again, we just want to stop right in the middle of the fire. He didn't say stop in the fire because then the flames will get you. He said you need to walk through. You need to keep walking. You cannot stop. So I want you to say one time loud, say, I will not stop. I will walk through. What's that song? Hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Now, see, I sound a little bit more like that one. Dude, 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 dude. Do 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 do. Well, that, but you know what? Now that I'm doing this, let's talk about the way you walk. Because the way you walk through the river, and the way you walk through the water, and the way you walk through the fire, and the way you walk through your life. You guys remember that Aerosmith song? I'm a jukebox today. The Aerosmith song, what was that? Walk this way, talk this way. It reminds me of that joke. You ever saw that joke where there's somebody standing there and they're like, oh, you need to know where to go? Just follow me. Walk this way. And then you just can't help but imitate them and be like, well, they said walk this way. You know, how we walk is so interesting. David, he walks like this. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but he has these little duck feet. And he walks with his legs spread kind of far apart and these little duck feet. And he's kind of got these hip problems and he can't figure out why. So I finally pointed out one day, hey, babe, have you ever looked down and noticed that your feet kind of go like this when you walk? So we went to the chiropractor and asked him, hey, is it okay that I walk like this? And he's like, no. He's like, should I try and walk like that? He said, yeah, you need to try and walk like this. You see, when he wasn't walking right, picking up what I'm putting down? When he wasn't walking right, it was causing him pain. And to get out of the pain, he needed an adjustment. And he needed to start walking right. And I know this sounds maybe like a little bit like a straight message. Oh, you're telling me to walk right. You're trying to tighten it up on me. Well, in Ephesians 5:16, it does say, look carefully how you walk. Look at how you walk, not as wise, unwise, but as wise. Another version says circumspectly. That word was too big. So I cut it down to another version, not as unwise. You see, it's not wise to walk like this. And it's not wise to walk like this because when you walk funny, everybody's going to look at you funny. Because if I walk up here and be like, do the wobble, 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 da, da, da. If I start doing the wobble, y'all aren't going to pay attention to me because I'm walking funny. We can't walk through life funny. We can't walk through life weird. We can't. Now, embrace your inner weird. Amen. You guys know I'm all about embracing your uniqueness. But God has a way for us to walk, and he wants to make sure that we do walk. But the way we walk as a Christ follower, the way we walk as a Christ follower says so much about us because it's not what you say. It's not just talking the talk. It's walking the walk. What is it in James? 1:22? It says, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. What is that saying? It's saying, walk out that Christian life. Walk out that Christian virtue. Walk out. It's the walk, friends. It's the walk. It's not the faith that you know. It's the faith that you do. If you're a note taker online, write that down. It's not the faith that you know. It's the faith that you do. It's walking out the faith. It's putting legs to your faith. You see, because 2 Corinthians, what is it, 5:7? 1 Corinthians 5:7 or 2 Corinthians 5:7? It says, walk by faith. 2 Corinthians, I got stuck in my head. It says, walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? Well, walking by faith, we know how we walk physically. We physically walk by our legs and our eyes. We have physical eyes and we use them, and we have physical legs and we use them. But in the spiritual, you see, the physical is different than the spiritual. The physical is your body. And your body has a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, which is different than your brain. It's the difference between your brain and your mind, right? You know that your brain does not, your brain is physical matter, amen? That's your body. But your mind, your will, and emotions, that's your soul. And that you are a spirit. That's the part of you that goes to heaven in the end, which I'm really glad about. I get the glorified body, and I have input for God with God about what that glorified body is supposed to look like. Just saying. We're going to have a talk. My legs are going to be a little shorter. I am the only woman who will ever say that. But we're going to have some talks about that. But so spiritually, we have legs. And that is our faith. And we're supposed to walk on the legs of our faith. And spiritually, we're supposed to see with the spiritual eyes of God's word. So spiritually, we walk very much the same as the way we walk physically. But it's our legs. We have to put legs to our faith. Because if we put legs to our faith, we will leave a legacy. Legacy. Our spiritual legs and our spiritual sight. Boy, for as hard as I'm working, that was a real mediocre hand clap. Our legs and what we see, that is what our children will learn. That's what our neighbors will see. That's what the people at work will see. That's what the people that we're trying to reach in our life will see. They will see our legacy of our faith. And if we're a Christian who's only talking the talk, oh, what's that? Because how many of you have ever seen somebody walk down the street? And what's that Bee Gees song? Da-da-da-da-da. I'm staying alive. You can tell by the way I walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. And oh, man, they had this video on there, and they're all strutting. How many of you know? You know when they're single. And you know when they're married. And you know when they're retired in Florida. They act like their shoes are tied together. People can tell a lot by your walk. I remember Doc Fasella one time telling us, he said, man, your friend, they have an interesting gait. I said, what does that even mean? He said, they have an interesting walk. He said, I can tell by the way they're walking. It's kind of like that Bee Gees song, isn't it? I can tell by their way they're walking that they have something going on that I need to go in and fix. Well, you know, the rest of the world can look at us and tell by the way we're walking. Girl, you're married. I know. No, you don't. The rest of the world can tell things about us by the way we walk out our life. We are the only Jesus that most of the world will ever see. So, I got a question. How's your walk? Is it interesting? Is it funny? Is it funny on purpose? What's your walk look like? And how do you know? How do you know? Ashton, one of her friends, she was FaceTiming one of her friends this past week, and I heard the call connect, and they said, hey, I can't talk right now. I'm reading my Bible. I'll call you back. And I thought, you know, you are walking with some of the right people. And that's what I also want to talk to you about is your who. And we'll come back to being a doer, because your who has a lot to do with your do. Your who has a lot to do with your do. But who you are walking with. You know, I liked that her friend said that, because it means that her friends think that's cool. If her friend said, hey, I can't talk right now, I'm getting high, I'm going to be one worried mom. But we think it that discriminately for our children, but we don't necessarily think that discriminately for ourselves. We'll get around these people. In a Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." No, I am in the last, I'm the last person in the world who wants to put four walls on a church. Right? That's not what we're doing. We're not becoming a club. We're not becoming discriminatory about who, oh, well, you have purple hair and pink hair and green hair and 27 piercings on your face. And matter of fact, your tattoos have more tattoos on your face than everybody else has on their whole body if we combine people. So you, I'm not putting walls on a church. We have to reach out to the world. We have to love the world. We have to show the world love.
That's good.
Amen? Because I just want to say, I don't watch the news intentionally because I get sad. I get sad and mad and all 12 other things. But I heard something about the news today, and I was like, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? Because nowhere in my heart can I even understand the hate that happens. I just don't, I have an ex-husband that abused me. I had someone who raped me. I had someone who molested me. And I can't hate them. You know what the world really needs, friends, is somebody to show them the love of God. Because love never fails. And when they forget how to hate, when instead they're like, oh, God bless their souls, they don't know. They don't know God. That hole in their heart that's causing them to do this, that darkness that's causing them to do this, it goes away when you get exposed to the love of God. Amen? But how? How are they ever going to see it? If we're busy walking with bozos, if we're busy walking funny, if we're busy doing too much, if we're busy not acting. And I'm not saying you can't put on nice shoes and strut a little bit for your marriage partner. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is don't be strutting when you ain't with your marriage partner. It gets you in trouble. Well, I didn't mean, I know you didn't, but they didn't know that. There's a whole lot, oh God, I wish God would leave me alone. This message was not about that, but it's coming out sometimes. And sometimes, you know, people always say, I want a word from God. The problem with a word from God is when you get a word from God, it means there's troubled waters ahead and you're gonna need that word to get through the troubled waters. So. Hopefully right now what I'm doing is I'm just being led of the Spirit to help you avoid trouble. Will you let me do that? Because I don't want to see you hurt. Oh, God doesn't want to see you hurt. But the problem with getting around people who hurt people, getting around people who hate, think hateful, getting around people who do things we shouldn't be doing, whoever you're walking with, you're walking like. Because somebody can't get up here. Let's see. Who am I going to pick on? I was trying to find Ashton. Ashton, girl, run up here. Run fast. Don't make me wait. I know what shoes you have on. I think they came out of my closet. Or at least I bought them. Okay, so here comes Ashton. Ashton, I want you to jump on the back of this treadmill with me. This is why I wanted somebody I knew because we could get a little close here. Whoever you're walking with, you're walking like. Okay, Ashton, run. Well, you can't run while I'm on here? No, okay. Okay, well then just get up here and walk with me. Whoever you're walking with, you're walking like. She's trying to get up here and do something else, but she can't because she's walking with me. Friends, if it looks like a duck, and it talks like a duck, and it acts like a duck, chances are it's a duck. And Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Like she got out of step with me. Girl, you got to keep up. Go ahead, look down. When I take a right step, you take a right step. See? She has to stay in pace with me because we're walking together. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can we really walk together? I guess what I'm asking is, do you really want to marry that person if they don't walk like you right now? Because it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Thank you, baby. Nice work. I'll buy you dinner. So since we're talking about walking, I guess we're just going to have to ask some of our friends to take a long walk off a short pier in our life. You know, we have to watch who we surround ourselves with. I understand reaching the lost, and I understand comforting the hurting, and I understand an accepting heart and accepting people. But when you've got people that close to you, and you're walking with them, you're not just visiting, you're not just hanging out, you're not just around occasionally, but when you're walking with somebody, you better be sure that you are very spiritually strong, friend, in the areas that you are weak, so that instead of you pulling them up, the enemy doesn't use them to pull you down. Can I get a big amen even online? Ephesians 4:1, it says, to walk in a manner that is worthy. Walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling by which you have been called. You see, the higher up that you go, friend, and you're called high, amen? The higher up that you go, the more upright we have to walk. If we look in the Bible, there's a few more guardrails and a few more hedges that God puts around us, not because he is a rule God. Here's why. He knows people look at you and will do half of what you do. Oh, nobody liked that at all. That was awesome. People will look at us as churchgoers, and they'll think, well, to be them, and they'll see what you do, and they'll decide they can do half. So as a pastor, I got to show you that I'm in the Word every single day, so that you might be in the Word every other day. And your friends have got to see that you're committed to the cause. Otherwise, they're going to think that they've become a Christian. They'll become a Christ follower for a brief second, and then they'll go back out and they'll get stuck in the same mess that they were in before. And then they'll say, where is this God that you told me that there was? And they'll blame us and our God because their walk never got straight because our walk was funny. We have to watch the way we walk. We can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the walk. Back to James for just a minute. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's the walk of faith that gets us things. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith has legs, and we see in faith. We have legs in faith. It leaves our legacy. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. Hey, you ever look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and go, oh, no, something happened? Look at yourself, says, observes, natural face in a mirror, he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets. If you guys could put that on the screen for me, I'd be thankful. And immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And I sent y'all a certain scripture. If y'all would put those certain scriptures I put up, because those are the ones I have memorized. Different versions are a little bit different. But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues it and is not a forgetful hearer, and is not a forgetful hearer, here's where you're right. This is what you're doing right. You're coming, and you're hearing, and you're online, and I hope you're taking notes. And you're in iConnect, because those iConnect people will be the people who can tell you if you're walking funny. Because my husband, he didn't know. God bless his little heart. He didn't know he walked like a duck, which is especially funny if you remember his little Donald Duck I love yous for the first 2 years of our marriage. He walked like a duck and talked like a duck, so therefore he... He didn't know. So we have to surround ourselves with the right they, because show me your friends and I'll show you your... The who we walk with. Who we walk with is who we walk like. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, James says. In the end of verse 25, a doer of the work. That man will be blessed in what he does. And I know a lot of people are like, doer of the work, that's where I'm out, because I do work all week. I ain't doing no more work. I ain't doing work before work. I ain't doing work after work, and I ain't doing work on the weekend. So, ding, check please, I'm out. Now, before you get freaked out about doing the work in Christianity, work scares people. Tithing, it's about my money. Serving, see, you just won't make me tithe my money. No. Praying. Now, how are you going to argue with me about what we're trying to get out of praying? Seeking God. Loving people. All of these things are straight out of the Word. They're lumped together. When we walk in these things, when we do the work, everybody say, do the work.
Do the work.
Walking is work. If you don't think so, put on your favorite television program. Get your favorite Ben and Jerry's, or Halo Top is my new decadent delight. Put your favorite Halo Top in your hand. Start digging it out with a spoon straight out of the carton. Not like you're going to share with anybody, because ain't nobody getting in here but me. And then have your favorite somebody, your husband, your wife, your best friend say, hey, want to go on a walk? And you're going to be like, not right now. I got to finish my ice cream, and I got to watch my show, and my feet are up, and I don't have on the right. We've got a million reasons not to do the right walk. We don't want to do the work. There's a million reasons not to do the work. It's inconvenient. It's hard. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to mess up my hair is my favorite. That's what I use. I'm like, oh, babe, I can't. I just wash my hair. The girls laugh. The guys are like, I don't even know what that means. Bald guys didn't laugh at all. But that's where Jesus answers us. And he says, come to me. Come to me. He says, come to me in Matthew 11, 28. All you are who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The problem with the first part of that is come to me is walk. Walk to me. You get up. You make the move. You see, Jesus already made the move. Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. And he lived 33 years in the same temptations that we have. He went up on a cross absolutely sinless, having not done one single thing wrong. And he said, hey, you know Betty, and you know Ed, and you know Jordan, and you know Demetrius, and you know Alicia, and you know all of these people. You know what? Free up their account, and you just beat me for it. And whatever they did wrong, you just put it on me. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. Jesus has done his part. My grandma, she was in her 90s, and she walked every day, every day. Now, my grandpa started walking. He was 60. By the time he was 97, we couldn't find him. No, but seriously, my grandma, she walked every day. Now, she had a stroke, and you see, the stroke could have killed her. It could have killed her. Now, when grandma walked, she didn't do my thing. She didn't do David's thing. But she just did her nice pace, what she could keep up with. She wasn't a gym rat, and it wasn't strenuous. She just went around the block. She went around the neighborhood every day, walking, and it seemed to be a nonchalant manner. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and have heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You see, walking sounds like work when we look at James 1, and we get a little bit, oh, I don't know if I can. But Jesus is like, no, it's not work. I've done the hard part. I've cleared the way. I've built the roads. I've put in the asphalt. I've put up the guardrails. I've lit the path for you. That word is a lamp unto my feet. I've lit the path. All you need to do is take the walk. You don't have to run. Just don't stand at the end, because if I stand right here, I'm stuck. And you know, the stroke didn't kill her, but the stroke could have killed her if she would have come back and said, well, you know, I got this limp and I'm 90. No, she didn't say, that's the reason I'm going to stay home. She said, I've got the limp and I'm 90, but I'm going to take my walk. And she got up. Come on, somebody. Every day. And the limp got less, and the limp got less, and the limp got worked out. She walked through. She walked through that limp. David walked through the duck feet. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through the fire. We walk through the flood. We walk through the problem. We walk through the circumstance. God doesn't need a big strenuous effort on our part. It's like being on a bike riding downhill with the wind at your back, which I just want to recommend. If you're in St. Louis, don't start on Grant's Trail at Kirkwood and then go to 55, because you don't notice it, but it's downhill. You notice it when you turn around. I'm like, I am awesome and in shape. I'm queen of the world. Got down there in like 20 minutes, turned around, went about 5 minutes, and like, we're going to have to call somebody because I can't do this. You know, if you walk 5 miles an hour, which is a little bit faster than I'm walking right now, but I'm also talking. If you walk at 5 miles per hour, you actually burn more calories than if you're running. Well, what does that mean? That means it's not what your hustle is like, and it's not how fast you're running. Because friends, this isn't a Christian sprint. We don't make it through the next 30 minutes and then we've achieved and we're done. The blessing is not a destination. The blessing is the journey. This is a marathon. It lasts our whole life. You don't worry if somebody's passing you by or if you think they're going to get the crown or if you think they're going to get the glory or you think they're going faster than you are. It's not about the speed. It's about the fact that we don't quit. It isn't the pace. It's the distance. So don't worry about people going around you. Don't worry about people walking by. And then the last thing I want to share with you is my time's up, is when. We talked about how to walk. We talked about who to walk with. And I just want to talk about when. When are we going to walk? Why are we still sitting here? Why haven't we been to Growth Track yet? Why have we come up with 20 excuses not to join an iConnect? Why do we keep dodging the tithing thing as if it's going to hurt us instead of bless us? Why? Why are we still sitting in the stands? Why are we not inviting people to church? Why are we sitting at home wondering, why am I not getting the blessing that I want? And God's like, well, I cleared the way. I built the road, asphalted. I put on the guardrails, and I lit the path. But all you're doing is standing still. It's just standing still. If you want to go somewhere, and I go to the refrigerator many times a day, can I get an amen in the house? I need my legs. I need my legacy because I need to get to the refrigerator because I need to eat a lot. I got long legs. You got to fill them up with food. We have to walk. Nothing happens when we stop. So here's what I'm calling out to you today. I'm calling out Acts 3, verse 6 through 8. And what happened there is Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give to you. So today, I'm the person speaking from the word of God. I'm your Peter today. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have to give to you. He grabbed him and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that's what I'm giving you today. I'm giving you the same command that Peter gave a lame man who was stuck, who had nothing. He was stuck financially. He was sick in his body. He didn't, Peter didn't give him $10 to fix this problem. He didn't give him a doctor's prescription. He didn't give him a tube of Bengay. He gave him a hand, and he gave him a command from the word of God, and that is walk by faith, my friend. Stand up. Give it one more try. And the man didn't stay down. He didn't stay down. He said, look at his legs. They are working. That's what God wants to do with you. If you will stand up by faith, how are you going to get out of this funk? How am I going to get out of this funk? You're going to walk out of it. How are you going to get out of these financial problems? You're going to walk out of it. How are you going to get to that next level? You're going to walk into it. How are you going to get to that new season? You're going to walk by faith with your legacy that you're going to leave for your children. How am I going to get into the banner years? You're going to walk into them by faith, my friends. So if you would go ahead and stand with me. I know walking isn't glamorous. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not trending on Twitter. But it's the promise. It is tried and it's true. It's God ordained. And it's what we are going to do. And there's a promise. Everybody say a promise. In Zechariah 3:7, it says, if you walk in my ways and if you will perform my service, then, I always love the then part, then you will govern my house. You're going to be in control and have charge of my courts. He's going to put you on the top, and I will grant you free access from among these who are standing here. It means don't worry about them who looks like they're getting the promotion and they got a potty mouth. Don't look at them who looks like they're getting ahead of you and they're buying a bigger house first and they live like the devil and the whole neighborhood hears them fight. It means don't worry. You're going to shake them off because I'm giving you free access from all of these who are standing here. with hands raised and eyes closed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for my friends online. I pray for my friends here on the campus. Father, we've been guilty of standing still. We've been guilty of slacking off. But you're so faithful to us to forgive us when we repent. So right now, Father, we repent of getting lackadaisical, of coming up with excuses, of getting complacent, of coming up with a reason, of walking funny. God, we make those corrections right now when we get on the road of blessing that you have for us, God. Because you said in the end of Psalm 1, you said, all he does will prosper. That's what I'm declaring over my church family today, that all that they do, that is they walk by faith and not by sight, that they walk by the Spirit of God, that they walk in his ways. As we walk in his ways, that everything they touch will prosper. No leaf will wither, but everything will bring forth fruit in its season. Every job, every opportunity, every client, side hustles are coming up with just great opportunities. Influence is coming to them and a voice is coming to them in spaces where they never thought they'd be able to give influence by their voice. They're writing letters that are getting noticed, and they're changing policies that they thought could never be changed. Parts of their body are opening up, and healing is coming that they thought could never come, God. Why? Because we are walking in your ways, and we are trusting you, and we are believing you, and we are thanking you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give God a good hand clap of praise?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.